Today is October 28th, year 2007. It's the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, but it's the last Sunday in October, so we're celebrating the Feast of Christ the King, Christ's kingship. And in that vein, we're going to be talking about Christ's kingship as I did last year and every year. We're going to always try to speak about a little bit, slightly different topic about the kingship of Christ. Now, last year, it will be do you well to listen to that sermon. We're going to tag on what I'm going to say to this sermon. What I'm going to deal with is a letter that I wrote to a Protestant historical revisionist who recognizes the conspiracies of the Jews in the world and a lot of these other conspiracies, but he doesn't have the whole picture. He doesn't realize he's part of the conspiracy because he's a Protestant, and that Protestants are the main cause of the great apostasy, because the Jews could not have succeeded unless they recruited a great portion of people in the world out of the Catholic Church to come out of that church and use them to fight against the church, and that was Protestantism. Even the Jews are the first ones to tell you that any time there's a revolt against the Catholic Church from without or from within, they're the first ones to go there and support that revolt. So without the Protestants breaking away, there would have been no great apostasy. So the Protestants really are the most deadly of all, more than the Jews even, because the Jews couldn't succeed without the Protestants. They needed their Protestants' innate hatred towards the Catholic Church to use these Protestants to fight against that church, because they had the common enemy. And as I say, many times there's only two kings you can serve in this world. It's either Christ or Satan. There's no other choice. You know, either you're going to serve the Catholic Christ, or you're either going to serve him as king. And everybody else out there who's not Catholic is serving Satan, whether they like it or not. I mentioned that last year, Buddhists, Hindus, Talmudic Jews, atheists, Protestants, I don't care, agnostics, call it what you want. Anybody who's not in the true Catholic Church and is not Catholic is not in the kingdom of Christ. They're in the kingdom of Satan. And our Lord talks throughout the scriptures of two kingdoms and two types of children consistently. I think I'm not sure of the verse, I think it's Matthew 13:30. I'm not positive of the verse, but he says, the children of the wheat are the children of the kingdom, and the cockle are the children of the wicked one. So those are the only choices. You know, you may think that there's all these multiple groups fighting against one another, and that is happening, but Satan has his own people fighting against one another, and then God also has his people fight against the evil people. So when I was trying to convert this Protestant historical revisionist, I was trying to make him see clearly that you people, even though you do see a lot of things that are happening, you're being punished because of your rebellion against the Catholic Church. And first and foremost, you can't save your own soul unless you come back into that church. And secondly, the only people that are going to be victorious against Satan's kingdom are those who are in Christ's kingdom. Christ's kingdom can never be defeated. It exists now today in us small people. And even if there was no Catholics on earth left, Christ's kingdom still exists in the Catholic Church's teachings, her past infallible bulls. It's an eternal entity that doesn't depend on any one human being. Christ is in heaven right now, ruling his church. And even really, Christ rules over even Satan's kingdom. He's the ultimate king of everything. Satan can't do nothing unless he gets permission from Christ. But so you do well to find out what kingdom you should belong to, or what kingdom you better get into right now. So I tell these people, even the temporal realm, if you want to see the victory, it's only going to go to Christ, the Catholic Christ. So get your priorities straight and fight this from the Catholics' church, from within the Catholic Church. First, I will tell you Protestants to do it for the sake of your own souls. You can die tomorrow and you're going to go to hell, certainly as a Protestant. And you're not going to be around for the visible reign of the Antichrist. So I'm mostly concerned about preaching to you Protestants. Please get into the true Catholic Church now, immediately. Today's the day of salvation to save your own soul. And only then will you be able to see clearly how to fight against the Talmudic Jews, the Freemasons, the Antichrist, and all these groups. You are now, I'm telling you Protestants, part of that great enemy against Christ's kingdom. And God's punishing you. He's using the Talmudic Jews, whom you went to for help financially and every other way. And he's using these Jews you went to them, and he's now using these very Jews to punish you. Our Lord says, by what if man sinneth? By the same he is tormented. And guess what? The Jews were being tormented by Satan, because they go to Satan for help. So, and when you serve Satan, they're a bunch of traitors and backstabbers. It's just a congregation of mafia criminals. That's what Satan's kingdom is. It's a lying, dishonest, deceitful, backstabbing, lousy, filthy, dirty, dark kingdom. And that's the kingdom you're in. And now, we're going to start out with a prayer when Christ's kingship is being denied throughout the world. And then we're going to read that letter that I had to the Protestant historical revisionist. And it's called Hail Christ the King. Most sweet Jesus, come near to us, thy children. Receive from our hands that crown which those are dust of earth tried to seize from thee. Enter now in triumph among us, thy fervent followers. Hail Christ our King. Lawmakers may break the tables of thy law, but once they lose their thrones and are forgotten, we thy subjects will continue to salute thee. Hail Christ our King. They have said that thy gospel is out of date, that it hinders progress, and must no longer be considered. They who say this soon disappear into obscurity and are forgotten, whilst we who adore thee continue to salute thee. Hail Christ our King. The proud, the worldly, those who possess unlawful riches, those who thirst for riches and honors and pleasures alone, declaring thy moral law to be for past ages, will be hurled against the rock of Calvary and thy Catholic Church, and falling will be reduced to dust and sink into oblivion. Whilst we, thy followers, continue to salute thee, hail Christ our King. Yes, hail to thee, O Christ our King. Put to flight Lucifer, the falling angel of darkness, from our homes, schools, and society. Force him and his agents into hell. Chain him there everlastingly. Whilst we, thy friends, continually salute thee, hail Christ our King. Amen. And when it all is said and done, and Christ has come the second time and destroys the Antichrist, and destroys his dominant kingdom over the whole world, and throws a false prophet into the pit with the Antichrist alive and all his minions, and Christ comes into the general judgment and recreates it's a new heaven and a new earth, it's all done. Only Catholics at that point are going to be saying, Hail Christ the King, and for all eternity. And then everybody will see truly, even you people now, if you die tomorrow, you're going to see Christ the King on your particular judgment. Or you Talmudic Jews or Protestants are going to realize that Christ really is the King, that he really is the Messiah, and it's the Catholic Christ. And the end, when things are all said and done, and Christ reconquers this world, destroys the evil kingdom, it's going to be recreated into a paradise, and heaven and earth are going to be united in a way we can only dream of. And all this evil wickedness is going to be just nothing but a bad memory. And believe me, folks, only Catholics then, or good Catholics, are going to be saying, Hail Christ the King. And all the Old Testament elect who are saved in heaven right now are Catholics. They became Catholic when Christ died on the cross, shed his blood, went down to the Abraham's bosom, brought them up to the face of the earth, baptized them, and brought them to heaven with them. Abraham is a Catholic. Moses is a Catholic. Even back when he was living, he was a Catholic and didn't even know it yet. Israel prepared the way for Catholicism, not the other way around like these Christian Zionists would have you believe. They would have you believe that these disobedient, faithless Israelites are God's chosen people. They're not. During the New Covenant era, there's only one chosen people, and that's Catholics. And it doesn't matter what race you are, no Jew nor Gentile. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. The most important thing that matters is you're Catholic, and we're all united in our faith. Now, we are going to read from this letter I sent to this Protestant historical revisionist, with a hope also to convert many people that think like he does. I wrote this letter on July 5th, year 2001. Dear Mr. X, Protestant historical revisionist. May the Lord Jesus Christ, through the sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary, grant you all the graces you need to see the ultimate truth of the Catholic faith, and thus have a hope to save your soul. This is not at all said out of hatred, but of love for your soul, so that you can have a hope to enter heaven for all eternity. I would not care much for your soul if I lied and said you can get to heaven where you are, outside the Catholic Church. Thank you for your newsletters. We will exchange subscriptions. I will send you my journals. There is much truth in what you say, but the ultimate question is, why has God allowed this? Many conservative Protestant groups point out much that is wrong in the world, but they fail to realize that they are one of the main reasons why the world is the way it is. Because when they left the Rock of Peter, the Catholic Church, they lost the only anchor of stability in the world and were now subjected to Satan and his minions, the apostate Jews, etc. Many became Freemasons, a sect started by the apostate Jews to use the Gentiles to corrupt the world and make war against the Catholic Church. We read about that in Acts 14:2. This wasn't in the letter, but where St. Paul says, and the unbelieving Jews stirred up and incensed the minds of the Gentiles against the brethren. Acts 14:2. So you see, this was a foot long ago. Ever since the Jews rebelled against Christ, they were his number one enemies on earth, physical, human enemies. And they were always going about trying to find anybody they can recruit. Acts 14:2 tells us they go about trying to recruit the Gentiles. Anytime Paul went to an area to convert a group of Gentiles and was very successful, who was right behind them? The apostate Jews trying to mess up his work and turn the Gentiles against St. Paul. So, we repeat what I just said there. And the Freemasonic sect was one of the most successful plots that they formed and that the apostate Jews used to corrupt the whole world. Without the Freemasons, they could not have corrupted the whole world. The Freemasons are a very evil entity, regardless of what they try to tell you today, folks. Their main goal was to corrupt the true Catholic Church. The reason they're friendly with the Vatican II Church is because that's not the Catholic Church. It's really a Judeo-Freemasonic entity. Now we go on. Many of your Protestants became Freemasons, a sect subject started by the apostate Jews to use the Gentiles to corrupt the world and make war against the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is the main target of these satanic sects. And that is one proof that the Catholic Church is the one true church and the only real threat to Satan. Many of these conservative Protestants are now realizing that many teachings and practices of the Catholic Church that they originally protested against are true, good, and necessary practices. They must realize that if it were not for the strictness of the Catholic Church, the faith would not have survived even 100 years. Even St. Paul says even an hour. He says that in, I think it's Galatians 2, 4-5. He says, some men have come in privately, secret men have came in privately to bring us into subjection. Jews, he talks about, whom we yielded not by subjection, no, not for an hour, so that the truth of the gospel may remain with you. Infiltrators came into the Catholic Church now and tried to pull St. Paul from teaching the true faith. Now, if you weren't strict, how are you going to get rid of these people? Okay, so we'll go back on here. They must realize that if it were not for the strictness of the Catholic Church, the faith would not have survived even 100 years. How else does evil get weeded out and thus suppressed? That is why this modern theory of democracy is a fantasy and can never be pleasing to God. Democracy promises a liberty from God and His Catholic Church, quote, promising them liberty, whereas they themselves are slaves of corruption. St. Peter says that in 2 Peter 2:19. Once a country allows all men the freedom to do as they please, then the devil enters in and God is ignored. Being that there is only one God, the God of the Catholic Church, He is not pleased with any government or kingdom that does not serve Him. To serve God means submitting to Catholic rule. There is a difference between freedom and free will, between rights and free will. Men have the free will to do, or to try to do as they please. But God does not give them the right or the freedom to do as they please, to sin and to break His commandments, and worship false gods and religions. Just like a teenager has the free will to drive a car, but if he does not have a license, he does not have the right to do so. And if he gets caught, he gets punished. And we read that in Ecclesiastes 15:12 or something. God has given no man the license to sin, and He's commanded no man to do wickedly. It is not the Protestant Masonic United States of America that will save the world. Quite the opposite. The United States is the physical Babylon mentioned in Apocalypse chapter 18 that corrupts the whole world. They also corrupted Rome, the Judeo-Masonic forces, the once Catholic hierarchy, so that Rome has now become the spiritual Babylon by the influences of apostate Judaism and Protestantism. What is in Rome today is no longer the true Catholic Church. It's a false entity that calls itself the Catholic Church. That's the biggest deception of all. Protestants have always referred to the true Catholic Church as the Whore of Babylon. And in this, they blaspheme God. But what is in Rome today is not the true Catholic Church, and it is the Whore of Babylon, precisely because it has become Judaized and Protestantized. Any Protestant will tell you that. Look at these Protestants now. They love the so-called Vatican II Church, which they call the Catholic Church, because it no longer condemns them. It prays with all different religions in all the world, and it respects all false gods. Now, even anybody knows a little bit about history knows that's not the true Catholic Church. See my point? It's precisely a whore of Babylon because it's been Protestantized. The Jews and Protestants are whores of Babylon, and they influenced. So the liberal Protestants know this, and that is why they now like modern-day Rome, the modern so-called popes, because they are not truly Catholic and have become more like them. The day a pope gets accolades from the non-Catholic world is a sure sign that he is not a pope and he's not Catholic. The only kingdom pleasing to God is one that serves him, and this is a Catholic kingdom in which Catholics profess and live the Catholic faith. The reason Catholic kingdoms have been lost is the same reason the Israelites lost their kingdoms under the Old Covenant, because they lost the faith in disobedience to God. God punishes his own more severely because they are supposed to be examples to the world. God allows the enemies of his fallen away chosen to engulf them and persecute them. These enemies of the Catholic Church, apostate Jews and Protestants, may think God favors them because of their temporary successes in the temporal realm, when the opposite is the truth. God uses them to punish his chosen, but in Catholics, but in the end, the apostate Jews and Protestants will be brought to naught, just as God used Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, to punish the Israelites when they turned their backs to God and in turn then destroyed Babylon. When the conservative Protestants now see, what the conservative Protestants now see, the Patriot movement, is their eventual destruction by the apostate Jews and the forces of the Antichrist. And this is their punishment for leaving the Catholic Church and thinking they can create a paradise without belief in and obedience to the one true God, the God of the Holy Catholic Church. It is said, and it is true, that God uses Satan as well as evil men as instruments of his justice, and when done using them, dispenses of them in eternal hell. That is if the evil men do not repent and convert before they die. King Nebuchadnezzar did repent and accepted the God of Israel before he died by the prophet Daniel's good influence upon him, and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Who is to deny that Europe was split in two by the Protestant revolts? And since then, the Protestants themselves keep splitting into an infinite number of sects. And this is not of God, whose church is one in faith and unity. Look, Ephesians 4:5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Yes, there have been bad Catholics, but that does not mean the Catholic Church is bad. There are bad doctors. Does that mean all doctors are bad, etc., in the medical profession? And we know that in the Old Covenant era, in Ecclesiastes 45, I think, or one of those verses therein, it says, except David, Ezekiah, and Josias, all the kings of Judah committed sin and rebelled against God, except Ezekiah, Josias, and King David. They all gave their kingdom to others and blasphemed God. So even under the Old Covenant era, you only had very few good leaders. But who's to deny that they were still God's chosen people under the Old Covenant? Israel was still God's chosen people under the Old Covenant, bad as they were. Even though some of them apostatized and fell outside of the church at that time, Israel was still God's chosen people. During the New Covenant era, Catholics are now God's only chosen people. And most Catholics are bad likewise. Most Catholic kings and popes are bad. But that doesn't mean the Catholic Church is bad. That doesn't mean Catholics aren't God's only chosen people. All it means is that God does the same thing that he always does when his chosen people go bad. He punishes them. When Catholic kings started to rebel against the papacy, God turned his back on them. And these are the kings that the Protestants look for to help spread their rebellion. It is a fact that after England left the Catholic Church in 1534, it became a haven for apostate Jews to carry out their master plan to bring Antichrist to power. The United States then followed it up. It is a war. God's kingdom versus Satan's kingdom. In this war, both sides fight for victory, both in the temporal and the spiritual realm. Quote, Jesus teaches us to be wise as serpents and simple as doves, end quote, Matthew 10:16. The prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray, the Our Father, contains these words, Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It has always been the job of God's chosen to fight for his kingdom. The principle of censorship is good and necessary. The question is, who does the censoring? You are well aware of this as a historical revisionist. Most conservative Protestants would admit the necessity of censoring pornography. This censorship does not just stop in the moral realm, but more importantly in the spiritual realm. The practice of false religions is spiritual fornication, and if it is within the power of Catholics to publicly suppress the worship of false gods and practice of false religions, they must do so. That does not mean forcibly converting non-Catholics, even though there have been those who did do this. It was not approved by the Catholic Church. They were allowed to practice their false religion in private in the Catholic state, but could not do so in public nor spread their teachings to the public. Even Christ doesn't interfere with free will. You can't force someone to believe. But if they're in the Catholic state, you better keep your beliefs to yourself in your little house. There could be no markings on your buildings, and you can't evangelize, and you can't preach on the streets. You got to stay in your little houses in private, and that's it. That's another issue to get into. Now we go on here. They were allowed to practice their false religions only in private in the Catholic states. But all Catholics have worked to bring God's kingdom on earth. We know this effort will fail, as it has in these end days that we are living through. I'm talking about temporary fail, you know, antichrist. Ultimately, it'll succeed when Christ comes, but it will fail. As far as in this fallen world, we do fail. Christ's kingship never comes to power in this world. By earthly kings, most of the world ends up rejecting Christ as we're looking at today. But then Christ comes and mops up the mess. He's from heaven. And that's the second coming in the world all over, as we know it. We know this effort will fail, as it has in these end days that we are living through. Because scriptures teach that men reject God's kingdom again under the new covenant, just as they have under the old covenant. And almost the whole world, every nation, will serve the Antichrist. Quote, "And all that dwelt upon the earth adored him," the beast, Apocalypse 13:8. It is Jesus Christ's second coming that defeats the Antichrist and the false prophet, which saves the elect, the small remnant of Catholics. Many of these Catholics will be converts from apostate Judaism, Islam, and Protestant sects. Far from supporting the apostate Jews, I condemn their false religion, and they are the main force that is bringing Antichrist into power. John 5:43, when Jesus said to the Jews, He says, "I come in the name of the Father, and you receive me not, but another will come in his own name, and him you shall receive." As I condemn their sham holocaust, or should I say holohoax, that has turned the whole Jewish race into a messiah and replaced the number one crime of humanity, of all humanity, the passion and murder of Jesus Christ. The Christian Identity sect has overstated the case and turned it into a racial issue instead of one of religion. It is a man's faith, his religion, that will either save or damn him, and not his race. There are good and bad in all races. Yes, some races have more bad than good. And there are good and bad in all races. In the end, St. Paul says, all prove unworthy, both Jews and Gentiles. This has occurred. The Protestant Christian Identity sect holds many heresies that are easily detected, and they too have rebelled against the Catholic Church. The reason the apostate Jews are evil is because of the rejection of Christ and their false religion of modern-day Judaism, known as Talmudic Judaism, not because of their race. If anything, their race makes them doubly guilty when they reject God and doubly blessed if they accept and obey Him, because their race was directly brought into existence to glorify and worship the true God and make Him known to the world. That is the job of Catholics under the new covenant. And no longer are the Israelites God's chosen people, but Catholics are. And no Jew nor Gentile. And when Catholics fall away, they are even worse than the apostate Jews. The doctors of the church and saints of the church have said that Protestants are even worse than apostate Jews because they use the holy name of Jesus in vain and water it down and make a mock of it. 1 John 4:3. Every spirit that dissolves Jesus is not of God, this is the Antichrist. Protestants dissolve Jesus because they still profess to believe in Jesus, but the Jesus they believe in is not the true Jesus. He's a Jesus minus the Catholic Church and all her key dogmas. And apostate Catholics who still go by the name of Catholic are the worst of all. One thing to note in all of this is not just simply European. It is not just simply European culture that is superior. The reason it was superior was due to the Catholic faith. True civilization that encompasses everything good came from the Catholic Church and the Catholic faith. If you can look at the world today and call this civilization, you've got to be out of your mind. It's pagan barbarism. The sins that are being committed man against man throughout this whole world. The greed and the selfishness and the murders and the lusts and the addictions and the lying and the cheatings and the stealings, as St. Paul says. If you call this civilization, you can have it. I call it the uncivilization of Satan, and that's where we are today. And that's what happened ever since the world rejected the kingship of Christ, the Catholic kingship of Christ. And that's almost the entire world today, other than us few people I know of here in Miracle Remnant. Now we go on. It seems to me that you really do care about the truth. And if that is so, you will find that true history, and all its parts, which deciphers between good deeds and bad deeds, good wars and bad wars, who are the good guys and who are the bad guys, and what are the reasons for the wars, can only be seen from the Catholic perspective. Only a true Catholic can write true history in all its parts, because as we know, history is in the eye of the beholder. And when the beholder is God, that is when we have true history. Only a faithful Catholic can see the whole picture. You asked me, who is my bishop? There are no Catholic bishops or Catholic priests in the world that I know of at this time, at least that I know of. This is the great apostasy, the great revolt that St. Paul spoke of in 2 Thessalonians 2, 2-5. There are many valid bishops and priests, but they are not legal because they are no longer Catholic. They lost the faith even though they think they are Catholic. The papacy is not lost when the Holy See is vacant, and neither are the bishoprics. They are only waiting to be filled by those who repent and convert. Okay. A little follow-up letter I sent him on August 22nd. Dear Mr. X, Protestant Historical Revisionist, your review summarized very well the contents of the videotapes, even though you may not agree with all the points. You do show an understanding of them. If only fallen away Catholics would be able to get this far, there would be hope in converting them. They are so indifferent, they do not even care about the truth at all. I do believe there is more hope in converting you than them. My next journal will be out in September. Thank you for allowing this information to reach the ears and eyes of your readers. Beware of the Christian identity sect. Their racism has tainted their ability to see the truth and has led them into one silly theory after another. In a future journal, I will write in more detail regarding this to expose their lies and in a hope to convert them. There are some among them who see the evil that Jews are doing today, but have attached this evilness to their race, when the truth is, it is the evil comes from their false religion of apostate or Talmudic Judaism, which promotes racism itself, or Zionism, even just atheistical Jews even that have the lust for just material power. The true faithful Jews under the Old Covenant, before the coming of Christ, would have nothing to do with these bad Jews and have nothing in common with them at all. In the scriptures, the prophets spent much time condemning those of their own religion and race who were faithless, and even more vehemently than others. And even at that, Catholics must call the evil Jews to conversion. For if it were not for the grace and mercy of God, there go I. St. Paul, when he was Saul, was at one time evil, and turned out to be very, very good when he converted. You never know who will convert. The one you think will convert does not convert, and the one that you think never will does convert. Praying, sacrificing for your conversion, Richard Joseph Michael Librandi, to Jesus through Mary, Soli Deo Gloria. And that is the end of the letter. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.